Let us talk some Oregon State football. The North leaders on a roll, ready to battle the Cougs and Pullman, have not had a winning conference record since 2012. Our guest brings you the Joe Beaver Show with Mike Parker weekdays, KEJO 1240 Joe Radio. Their Twitter handle is at 1240 Joe Radio. John Warren checks in. John, much appreciate the time. How's life to the North these days?
Pretty good so far, Steve. Everybody's in a better mood around here. It's been a while, if you know what I mean. It's been a long while.
So, Beavs almost made a bowl game 2 years ago. Then last year was COVID. You looked at this year, you thought you'd have a transfer quarterback, lose Jamar Jefferson to the NFL, Nashawn Wright, a big cover guy. And also what the media thought of him, not that that's worth anything. So, John, if somebody told you before the Purdue game that the Beavs are going to be 4-1 leading the North on October 8th, what do you think your reaction would have been?
You know, actually, for me, I would have said, yeah, that's a possibility. I wouldn't have necessarily called it the direction that it went, the one loss. I thought the one loss certainly would have been at USC, something they haven't been able to do in 61 years.
Right.
I never would have thought that. Even with USC having the turmoil now, of course, they lose their coach, a week and a half, 2 weeks before the Beavers get there. That may have had something to do with it. I don't know. They always have, as you know, Steve, it doesn't matter. They always have the bodies. They have the Jimmies and the Joes. They just got to figure out how to get rid of, do the X's and O's. I mean, that was a huge win for Oregon State. 4-1, yeah, that might have been a little bit happy, but at the same time, I believe in this team, and I thought so before the season even started. I didn't predict any Rose Bowl or anything like that. I just said, this is a 6-win team, maybe even better than that.
You know, I want to get back to September 25th because I love history. I just turned 61, and the last time Oregon State won at USC, it was 20 days before I was born. And, John, I think the thing to focus on is that wasn't, you know, the weather or a late-game Hail Mary. They went down there, and they kicked their rear ends. OSU was the better team. I just want to know the buzz. What was it like around the team, the athletic department, after a performance like that?
Well, of course, everybody's happy and everybody's excited, and just being around the guys. Now, we're not necessarily around the team much because for COVID, and also, you know how access is just different. Mike Riley was the best. You could be there on the side of Pro Throw Field when they're practicing, and then when Gary Anderson came in, it was locked out. I mean, it was behind, you know, five gates and 10 keys. With Jonathan Smith, it was open during fall camp. You could go watch, do all of that, and see the guys. But still, interviews were very controlled. So it's not like the old days where we could kind of stand there and when practice was over, just go grab any player or call or ask for any player. So we don't have that kind of access. But just being around administrators and coaches and sports information personnel, oh, man, the mood was huge after USC, but it's also very tempered because Jonathan Smith is so even keel. He never gets down when things were bad in this building process. Really good article from The Athletic on him and that whole building process, but he also never really gets really high if something good like USC happens, and so the players are kind of the same, and that's a good thing because they need to maintain that even keel, get the job done 1 week at a time. I know it's cliche, but they really kind of live that out because of his personality.
You know, the thing about Coach Smith, who, you know, I don't tell you, quarterback the greatest team in program in history, crazy to think it's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
When Anderson left, it was a train wreck. But how important was it, you know, instead of chasing a big national name and making a splash, that they went after a guy who understood, we're not getting all the 4 and 5 stars. You got to build. You got to develop a key transfer here and there. I mean, just the thought process of Scott Barnes, you got to look at that as that was spot on.
Yeah, it really was. And it was a popular choice. I thought, you know, I'll admit it up front, I thought he might need to cook a little longer, that kind of a thing, because of his youth. But at the same time, you know, he'd been making his way through the ranks and was with Chris Peterson for 6 years, if you consider Boise State and Washington, was a several-year offensive coordinator. So I guess it was time. I don't know. I guess I'm just getting older. I think I was 53 when he was hired 4 years ago. And so... I thought, in fact, when I got down there, Steve, 23 years ago, and interviewed him as a young sophomore quarterback, I remember saying to someone at that time, man, this kid is smart. He acts like a coach. He's really mature. He acted then like he acts now when you talk to him. And so he's young, but he is even-keeled. He's smart, and he is... He understands the idea of sticking with something and doing everything the right thing. And so they took their lumps the first couple of years, although you could see the turnaround right away. You just knew that in the first year with somebody else's players, it was a wreck. It was a mess. Gary Anderson left a mess. And Smith was just the right temperament and the right, you know, person to stick with the program and do it the right way. If they did it the wrong way, which, you know, define that, I don't know. But the right way being all high school kids, foundational. Then he went to the portal. I don't know of any team that does as well with the transfer portal as Jonathan Smith, because he'll get guys like Avery Roberts, Addison Gums, Tristan Jebbia, guys that were four stars coming right out of high school. But they only go for 1 year somewhere else. Okay, great. And then you get them in the transfer portal, and you got yourself a whole bunch of four-star players that don't count when the agencies like, you know, Rivals.com, they don't count transfers when they rate your class. It's only high school. And so quietly, he's building and building with these four stars that were four stars before and to this point today now, and they're not done yet, but you can tell, you can just see the incremental rise each and every year.
Talking with John Warren, 1240 Joe Radio, with Mike Parker, brings you the Joe Beaver Show. We know the best Oregon State teams run it. They strike big in the passing game, but right now, 240 yards a game. That's ninth among Power 5 conference teams. You know, I looked at the line. They're starting the same five who finished last season. So what about this group who are led by one of the best line coaches in the business, Jim Mihalchek, and how they've performed?
Well, first of all, that's the key right there. That guy is getting more and more press, more and more accolades by the different analysts that we'll talk to on the national level. It's all about Jim Mihalchek. And, you know, I remember Mike and I did a podcast with him last year. What a great guy. And he's just so knowledgeable. And one of the, where it all starts at the center position, Nathan Eldridge, was a player at Arizona for a couple of years under Mihalchek, then transferred to Oregon State. I think those two have been together for 6 years. And so he understands it. He anchors that line at the center, and then the other guys moving outward have been around for several years and have a lot of experience together. And it's not like it was with Jamar Jefferson or even Artavis Pierce, where you've got an exciting slasher that can, you know, move around and find the holes and make big plays. B.J. Baylor can do that, but more than anything, Baylor will hold the ball like a fullback does with two hands, and he'll bust through and get 3, 4, 5, 6 yards before he's even touched, and then maybe bust into the secondary, and then they have three really accomplished running backs. Baylor, Trey Lowe, but the second guy that comes in is already an SEC guy, and Deshaun Fenwick out of South Carolina. And so Baylor will get more of the press clippings and more of the carries, and he's got the touchdowns that lead the conference and in the top 10 of the country. But his backups get, you know, a ton of carries, and so nobody's tired. But it's the line that's giving the holes up front in the beginning, and the one thing, and I'm not saying that this will be repeated yet, give me a couple weeks, the one common denominator between 2000, which you already said was the best year ever, Jonathan Smith, and now was the offensive line.
No, no question about it. I did a little research on that. Couple final thoughts for John. You mentioned him, but I didn't want to just gloss over because Avery Roberts started his college career, ironically, I have to tell you, playing at Nebraska for Mike Riley, transferred to the Beavs. And since he walked on the field in 2019, he's been their leading tackler. Now, he was actually pretty highly touted out of Delaware. Just, let the folks who haven't been overly familiar down here know just what kind of a playmaking force he's been leading this D.
Pac-12 Player of the Week off of his defense against Washington last week, Avery Roberts. He got here and had to sit a year because of injury. Well, first of all, transfer, and then got hurt early and had to sit and go through that disappointment of waiting and then getting hurt real fast and having to sit the rest of that year and waiting essentially another year, and then got on the field with some consistency. And I remember thinking when he and Gums got here, oh, man, this thing really is going to start to turn around when these guys are finally able to get on the field. And there was somebody who said, I can't remember who it was, but it was way back when they got here, and it was kind of a comparison between the size, if you will, and the eye chart with some players under Anderson. They saw Avery Roberts and said, that guy's a player. He's not going to play for a while, but that guy's a player. Once he got on the field, he proved that to be right. And last year, he and Omar Spates, another kid who came all the way from Philadelphia, and prepped a year at Crescent Valley before playing for the Beavers, they lead the Pac-12 in tackles last year. And I don't know where Spates is now, but I know Roberts is right up there as one of the top leaders in tackles this year.
Last thing is this game with Washington State, who avoided the nightmare 0-3 start, knocked off Cal last week. We know Nick Rolovich to bring that run and shoot. They played an awesome defensive game. So drinking in all the pregame analysis, what's the buzz among what the coaches have said, your observations as to, I guess, the aspects of this Coug team that absolutely has OSU's attention.
Well, they have their attention based off, certainly they have my attention, they have the coach's attention, I think, because everybody has a coach's attention. They think everybody is the best, and they study film that way. But as a fan, and as, watching it and talking about it on the radio, this is a team that I want to say, oh, this shouldn't be any problem, but I can't, and Mike can't either, because of their defense and what their defense was able to do with a very high-scoring Cal team in last week's win down at Cal. The one thing on some highlights that I saw is how quick their defense was. And Brennan Jackson was the defensive lineman of the week, and I saw highlights of him. And he was just in the backfield against Cal constantly, and just a tough defensive lineman to have to deal with. So really for them, it's the speed. They don't have a lot of size. They do, compared to Washington, they don't have a lot of size, but they do cause more fumbles than any other team in the conference this year. And that has Oregon State's attention. So it's really going to be the clash of the running game for Oregon State between the tackles and the line up front, which is smaller but fast for Washington State.
Folks, he's John Warren, kind enough to carve out some time with us. You could check him out 11-1 weekdays on the Joe Beaver Show, 1240 Joe Radio to the North. Hey, John, really good catching up. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Thanks so much for joining us. Be well, and I'm looking forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely, anytime, and I know you enjoy these baseball games this weekend.
All right. Have a good one, John. Take it easy.
Thanks, man.
All right.